Well, now, your latest work is from the film Last House on the Left. How did you first come to work on that?
I just got a call to see if I was interested in working on it. And I was kind of intrigued, you know, because it's such a cult classic, whether you love it or you hate it. It's definitely its own movie, you know what I mean? So I was kind of intrigued as to why they were even remaking it. And then when I found out who was directing it, Dennis Iliadis, you know, who had done Hardcore, which is something I'd seen a few months earlier. I really liked it. You know, I was very interested then because I thought, well, you know, what the hell is this guy going to do with this film, you know? So, you know, we met up and we talked, and I just thought, yeah, let's just do it, you know? I mean, I wanted to work with Dennis more than anything. So I thought, you know, it was obvious that we weren't going to do anything like the original, that it was going to be its own film, and especially with the music. You know, and I really wanted to work with the guy, so we just did it.
Okay. No, so you because you wanted to make it its or because you wanted to make it its own film, you didn't really make the any thematic statements from the David Hess score from 72.
I mean, to be honest with you, I loved what David Hess did with that, with the music on that film. I mean, it was out of my mind. You know, the whole kind of stuff with the cops, and you know, you just wouldn't get away with that nowadays. You know, he kind of so blatantly kind of trivialized what was actually happening in terms of the, you know, the content of the film. I mean, it was kind of one of the most shocking scores that I've ever heard, to be honest with you. I mean, I love it. I absolutely love it. But, you know, it was obvious that you know, the film, Dennis's film, was going to be so different in approach and in tone and in everything else, that there was no way we were going to even refer to it. And it was, you know, it was good that we didn't. I mean, some things you just got to leave alone. You know, we sort of both desperately wanted the film to stand on its own. So as much as it would have been fun to redo some of those classic jaunty tunes, it just would have been, it was way too dangerous, you know, it just wouldn't have been right.
So what was the most rewarding part of working on Last House on the Left?
I think that personally it was just getting to do the music in a kind of, I suppose, more like the early American kind of classic horrors were done, you know, where they were, like Rosemary's Baby and you know, films like that, where the music was actually much more melodic and lyrical. You know, and a bit more eerie than you find in a lot of kind of modern horror scores, you know. I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, I find a lot of kind of horror scores boring. You know, there's some great stuff out there. You know, Howard Shore's amazing, and you know, the guys that do it well are just fantastic, but there's just so much kind of samey stuff in a lot of modern horror scores now, you know, pulsy and droney, and, you know, when some scary happens, there's big scary sounds, you know. And you know, if you watch those early American horror films, the music was actually, you know, it was kind of almost childlike in a lot of places, you know. It was very melodic, very thematic, very lyrical, you know. You know, a lot of the times where something really brutal would be happening, to be just the music would be kind of juxtaposing it, you know. And so when I was talking to Dennis about this, you know, he was excited. He was like, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it more old school, you know. Let's do it like it used to be done. So, I mean, that was definitely the most rewarding thing for me, you know. It was just to kind of not do it like the way the kind of mostly being done right now, and to, you know, go back 25 years, you know, and just kind of do it in that old school way. Very right. Melodic. Right. And I think it worked. I mean, I think it, you know, we kind of pulled it off.
Well, now your job as a composer is to write music, but do you use silence as a composing tool?
I think all composers use silence. You know, it's kind of, when you do it right, it's kind of the loudest statement you can make on a score. You know, you know, especially with me, where I use a lot of crescendos and slow building, long pieces. You know, when you kind of talk it right up and you kind of, really get to that pitch, you know, that moment that you stop. It's like the loudest thing in the film, you know. You can make such a huge statement if you get that moment right, you know, like the end of 28 Days Later, where big kind of 8-minute scene in the house where they're, you know, it's just like a blood fest, and it gets to that critical moment where Jim's kind of holding, or Jim's just killed the guy, and the girl is kind of holding the axe, and she's deciding whether he's been infected or not. That stop, you know, is kind of huge, just because we've had so much before it, and it's sort of, you can feel that space, that tension. You know, silence is like one of our biggest tools, you know. And it's funny because I remember, you know, it's not just in dark stuff either, it's, you know, in comedy it's great, you know, because just getting those beats and those pauses, like, for dialogue is, you know, it works great in comedy. I remember Guy Ritchie saying to me, he said, you know what, the best thing about your music is when you stop. I thought, it felt like an insult at the time, you know, it was like, what the hell do you mean by that, you know? And then he said, no, look at all these bits where you stop for the gag, you stop for this. I was like, oh, okay, you know. So apparently that's what I'm best at, is when I'm not playing, apparently. So I kind of took it as a compliment afterwards. But yeah, I mean, it's something, it's a device every film composer knows well and uses, you know.
So now, how would a score that you write today differ from one that you wrote at the beginning of your career?
That's a really good question, actually. I'd hope it wouldn't be as lousy as my early stuff, for sure. I think the biggest difference would be, I've probably got a lot more confidence now to sort of do my own thing, you know. Early on, you know, it's probably the same with most composers. I mean, for me at least, I was so kind of nervous about, you know, sounding like I could do it, you know, especially with the background that I came from. Yeah. That, you know, I ended up kind of really sounding like a lot of other composers, you know, just because of that anxiety of, look, I can sound like this, or I can do this, you know. So you don't really find your own tone early on. You know, you might have ideas about things you want to do, but you definitely play a lot safer. So nowadays, I think I'm just a bit more kind of gung-ho about stuff, and I'm a bit more, you know, sort of brash about going, you know what, let's just do the opposite here. What about this, you know? And so it's easier to kind of be yourself, you know, after a while. So that's probably the biggest difference, I would say.
So now, what does the future hold for you?
We've got a film coming out in the fall, which I scored last year, called Armored, with Jean Reno and Matt Dillon, to do a kind of cool little heist movie. But I'm actually taking a break. I'll be taking the rest of the year off to kind of mess with some of my own stuff, you know, that I've been promising myself for 2 years. Mm-hmm. So I've actually, it'll be my first break ever, you know, so I kind of set up my own little label, and I'm going to do some stuff that I want to do, you know, and get some of this stuff on the system, and, you know, just, you know, because sometimes you just got to, as creative as it is doing, writing film scores, especially when you're working with directors like Danny Boyle or Michael Mann or Stephen Frears or whatever, you still kind of, at the end of the day, you've got to give them what they want, even if you find that out in your own way, you know, and you kind of do what you want as well. You're still kind of, it's still a job, you know, you still got to kind of do what, you still got to deliver something that really works for the film and for whatever they want to do. So, you know, it can get frustrating, you know. I mean, sometimes you know, I'll sort of start off a scene and I'll write a little sort of piece, and, you know, I love it and I can imagine it kind of developing into this or turning into this, and, you know, you've got to kind of stop 10 seconds later. And it's kind of creatively soul-destroying sometimes, you know, where you just think, God, I could just so hear what this track could turn into. And so you've got to stop. You've got to always, you've got to do what's best for the movie. And that means kind of butchering some stuff that you really wish you didn't have to butcher, you know. But that's what you got to do. The film comes first. The scene comes first. So everything is geared towards that. But it is frustrating, you know, so I'm looking forward to actually sitting at a piano without a TV screen, spitting out synth code, you know, and actually see if I can still write stuff without pictures, you know. So hopefully that's the rest of my year, you know.
Okay.
And kind of hanging out with the kids and reading the odd book and watching some football. Soccer, I should say. Well, that's my kind of wake and break. So that's, yes, the rest of my year. I can't wait.
Well, I really appreciate the time you've given me today. It's great to speak to someone as enthusiastic as yourself about what would you do.
No, it's my pleasure. I've enjoyed it.